The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Friday, March the 14th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled A 30-Foot Inflatable Michael Myers, and the time is 10:15 a.m. here in London, making it 6:15 a.m. on the east coast of America and 3:15 a.m. on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, something I want to share with you. I do mention films, television quite a lot on this channel, but I think I've got something for you today that most of you will have seen. So I don't work forwards, folks, I work backwards. I try and find things that I would like from the past, because I know anything even in the past 10 years is going to be full of woke nonsense that I'm not going to be interested in, I'm not paying money for, okay? So it's difficult. I'm 52 years old, you know, so most things I think I've probably got by now. But something came to mind. I think I was going through the Darren McGavin. When you discover television shows, things like that, so I discovered Kolchak the Night Stalker simply because Chris Carter said it 30% was the inspiration behind The X-Files. So I thought, oh, I may as well watch it. So you watch it, and then you look at the lead actor called Darren McGavin, and then you look at what he's been in, and one of them was an airport film. And I thought, oh, I remember them. Those disaster films from the 1970s that we, you know, likes of myself, who was seven in 1980, didn't really see first time round, but they were repeated. The sort of things that were repeated a lot over Christmas. Obviously a festive flavour, these airport disaster films. But I bought a box set, and it's Blu-ray, and I had to get it from America, although I could order it on Amazon. It was posted to me from America. About £25 for four films. Before we get into them, well, we are getting into it. I've got the cover here. Airport, the complete collection. Airport, Airport 1975, Airport 77, The Concorde, Airport 79. So there's the four films. And then you've got pictures of lead characters in the films along the bottom. So the first one you've got is Robert Wagner. Now, as I say, these films were all made in the 1970s. But also I've got an interesting conversation from the 1970s, in which Robert Wagner was commonly misinterpreted as, or misidentified rather, as Richard Wagner. Now, I do warn you that this conversation does contain profanity, so if you do not wish to hear that, then just wind the show forward 2 minutes from now.
Yeah, well, I had the same experience. I opened the cab door for somebody who hailed me on the corner.
Who's hailed you?
Richard Wagner.
Richard Wagner? He's been dead 200 years.
That's what I thought, but no, he was large as fucking life in the King's Road.
You're not confusing with Richard Wagner?
Robert Wagner?
Robert Wagner. No, because he's been
alive. No, because he was humming.
He's been alive for years.
No, he's been alive for years. You'd know the difference.
Yeah.
No, Richie came into my cab humming, you know, snatches of Tristan and Isolde. I thought, fucking hell. I thought he was dead, I thought, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he sat in a cab, whistling away, you know, and I thought, I said, hello. I recognise that leitmotif.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he recognised, you know, another soul on his wavelength. And he said, fuck off, cunt.
Well, I said, in German or English?
No, in English. I said, you speak very good English for a cunt. Anyway, I pulled over. I looked round, what was that all about? I said, you can fucking get out the cab, as far as I'm concerned. I said, get out the fucking cab. I said, you may be Richard Wagner, but you can't come in my fucking cab and tell me to fuck off.
No.
So I said, you just fuck off out the cab. I never saw him again. He didn't give me nothing.
Kathy, no
nothing,
tip
no tip, no fare.
No tip whatsoever. Like, all celebrities are there.
So there you go. That's how you distinguish between Richard Wagner and Robert Wagner. So back to the Airport DVD, or rather Blu-ray box set. A couple of other faces along the bottom. Three, I can't recognise them. This one I wouldn't recognise, but I've seen the film. It's Jack Lemmon, but he's got a moustache. I wouldn't recognise that. Him with a moustache. Then we have George Kennedy, who's the only actor that's in all four of the Airport films. And again, it's for younger people like myself, who wouldn't have seen him in these films in the 70s. I'm more familiar with him as Carter McKay in the Dallas television series. And finally, we have Dean Martin. Funnily enough, when I was looking at those CDs at the weekend, 5 for 150, there was a best of Dean Martin there. And I did wonder whether to pick that up. On reflection, I should have picked that one up instead of the Wonder Stuff single CD. But there you go. So on the back, it says, all four disaster movies. Prepare to take off on a non-stop edge of your seat thrill ride with four suspense-filled adventures in Airport, the complete collection. The quest begins with the original Airport, nominated for 10 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, which launched the popular 1970s disaster film genre and became a box office smash. In Airport 1975, a mid-air collision leaves a 747 without a pilot and little hope for survival. The tension continues in Airport 77, when a 747 is trapped underwater in the Bermuda Triangle, and it's a race against time to save the passengers and crew. In The Concorde, Airport 79, at twice the speed of sound, the Concorde must evade a vicious attack by a traitorous arms smuggler. Featuring all-star ensemble cast that include Charlton Heston, Burt Lancaster, James Stewart, Jack Lemmon, Lee Grant, Jacqueline Bisset, Dean Martin, George Kennedy, and many more, Airport, the complete collection, will leave you on edge from takeoff to dramatic landing. Now, whilst I prefer shorter episodes, so I was sort of more keen to watch my Rockford Files, because they all come in at just under 50 minutes, and all these films are nearly 2 hours each. They were actually quite well done. They did hold your attention, so I'm quite pleased I bought it. And yeah, if you want a bit of nostalgia from that period of history, then it's over on Amazon. You can buy that set. And another thing, because I have quite a bad memory these days, something that actually is a good thing about having a bad memory. Pick this up on Tuesday, Clint Eastwood in The Line of Fire, a 1993 film that the baddie, as I call them, is played by John Malkovich, who I recently saw in Con Air. And I didn't remember either of those films, so it's like a fresh watch for me. I'm half an hour in, and it's a little bit slow, but again, it's nice to see something that you feel is new with Clint Eastwood from over 30 years ago. Okay. Other things, like, I know what happens in all the Dirty Harry films, in The Outlaw Josie Wales, all these things I've seen time and time again, but I think I only ever saw this once. So obviously wasn't that taken with it at the time. But for 50p, it's worth seeing it again. And the other thing, going back to disaster films, that was the big time, was the 1970s for the disaster film genre. And there's actually a Wikipedia page that you can go to that has these disaster film. It's actually got its own page. Let me see. I've skipped over a couple of things I've got to get back to. List of disaster films, it's called. Wow, imagine that. And then they've got it into sections. Man-made disasters, natural disasters, end of days, aircraft, the atomic age, epidemics and pandemics, shipwrecks, And they're all the different sections that they've got. I've actually looked through this a few times, and there are a few things from the 1970s that many of you will be familiar with. For example, the Poseidon Adventure. And then you have Earthquake was another big film. I think that was 74, which I hadn't heard of. But then you have to look at what you've seen recently. Well, recently for me, it's about 20 years ago. But for example, I think one of the best disaster films is 2012. That is a really good... I'm talking really from an effects point of view. And obviously something that was made in the early part of this century is going to be a lot more accurate in the way that... a lot more believable in the way things get destroyed than something from the 1970s when, you know, special effects were in their infancy. I mean, some of the scenes in the Blu-ray set of Airport, I mean, I must admit, if you look it up on Blu-ray.com, the picture quality is phenomenal on everything apart from the last disc, the Concorde Airport 79, when what's obviously a model is sort of flying about and it looks like embarrassing. But even if you had that in Blu-ray quality, it probably would make it look even worse because it would be sharper and more obvious. Maybe that's why they didn't up the quality so much in that final film. But the other three have all got 4 out of 5. They're stunning. They look like they were filmed today sharpness, shall we say. But those sort of things with special effects. Another one, so say for example the earthquake film, I think of the film San Andreas, which is a similar film. It's about an earthquake in that area of America, as is the film Earthquake, but you're going to get a lot more special effects in that because it is a more recent film. So I give myself reasons for not buying things. Another one is The Towering Inferno. A lot of the problems with these 70s disaster films is they had loads of little subplots in them that you just want to get on with the action type of thing. Do you know what I mean? It was that sort of thing. So I look at that, and The Towering Inferno, I saw Backdraft recently, and it's not something that scares me, it just doesn't interest me like a film with fire in it. So Backdraft is a more recent film, had a lot of star names in, like Kurt Russell and Robert De Niro. Couldn't get into it at all, I had to fast forward through it, and then even the... you know, the fire scenes and that, it was, when you looked at reviews, oh, these fire scenes are stunning and all that sort of stuff. Not for me, so therefore The Towering Inferno is not for me, especially when it comes in at like nearly 3 hours. And then you have The Poseidon Adventure, which again is something that when you look up, there's all these different subplots in it, a very long film. And you can argue that something involving a ship has probably been done a lot better with the likes of Titanic. That doesn't really interest me, although there is a feature on a cruise ship going over. Quite a significant time is spent on that in the film 2012, which features a lot of different things because it's a supposed end of days movie, so it shows all different things that go wrong to bring that about. So that is the disaster films. The clip that I just played, that I warned you about the profanity of, you can find this on YouTube. It is called Derek and Clive Back of the Cab. The full clip is 6 minutes 22 seconds. And if I just go back to what I put into the Google search engine, I just typed Derek and Clive Back of the Cab YouTube. So if you want to hear the rest of it, then you can find it there. I'm not going to include a link to it in the post for this show because, believe me, it does actually get worse. So proceed at, well, with caution, as I warned you before. So anyway, let's move on to, I think I've covered everything there, shows that I've downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day. I already listened to one of them, actually, and that was the first hour of yesterday's programme, the Jeff Rents programme, that you can find at, you might get it, might be lucky, he might have put it up at rents.com for free. Otherwise, get a subscription from rentsradio.com. This was with Yoichi Shimatsu, who was due on the 14th anniversary of the Fukushima nuclear disaster on Monday. And they caught up with him yesterday, so there you go. But a lot of people I've heard in the independent media have rubbished the claims of Fukushima and said, oh, you know, when it happened, there was a lot of people like Jeff Rents, they were coming out, it's all doom and gloom, it's an ELE, extinction level event, stuff like that. Well, things have certainly gotten worse. I mean, I never spoke to Yoichi Shimatsu. He actually went into the restricted area on a bike So you've got an exclusion zone around the reactors, and he's Japanese, and he actually cycled in there a dozen times. And he's still with us, but in this show he talks about how so many Japanese people no longer are. He now lives in New Mexico. They give lots of other reasons as to why and how this is actually affecting us today. And the person I spoke to, who I also got from the Jeff Rentz program where I heard him, was Dana Durnford, who I haven't heard from for years, and I hope he's okay because he did have health problems. But he was a lovely chap from Canada, and he talked about all the little things you'd see living, you know, on the coast, little crabs and vegetation, all this sort of stuff of British Columbia, and how it all been completely wiped out. And we did several shows together, and he was certainly sounded like he was telling the truth to me. He went off on a boat by himself doing all these scientific investigations and looking at all these things and saying this was a result of Fukushima. So I think it's a legitimate event that's probably affecting us in a number of ways that we're not really stringing together right now, and that hour will get into it for you. And then the third hour of the Jeff Rentz program, the War on Food, with my friend Misha Popoff doing his monthly visit over there. Also, yesterday was Thursday, and that is when Paul English Live goes out for 3 hours every week. And you go to paulenglishlive.com, and there's a variety of ways you can get hold of it and listen to it from there on different platforms. Okay, so let's see how the news has been developing since we did yesterday's show. So first up, takes us back to today's show title and show image. A 30-foot inflatable Michael Myers, Daily Mail headline, bathroom firm sparks outrage with 30-foot inflatable knife man boasting, "We murder all competitors in city where boy was stabbed to death last week." So the company is called Big Duck Bathrooms, which I think is a pretty good name for a bathroom fitting company. But they've been branded sick and insensitive after erecting the giant advert, well, it's inflatable actually, based on the Mike Myers character in the horror film Halloween, just days after a fatal stabbing in the city. Well, folks, if you weren't to put anything up Halloween-related in this country due to a stabbing, you never would, which might not necessarily be a bad thing. But to make out that this stabbing in Glasgow is something, you know, that's really rare, I'm sorry, but I've been to Glasgow, and it's not the safest place in the world, as I'm sure many of you who have been there or live there would agree. It has its bad areas. So the other thing that you find in this article that is just goes to show how people's minds work today. The inflatable was pulled down just hours after the company owner, Cornelius Kelly, received a complaint. He said he never thought the inflatable would offend anyone, and he said he was not aware of the recent death. But he said, or rather he told the Mail Online, "After being aware around lunchtime that a young boy had died recently due to knife crime, I immediately took it down. My displays are designed to bring a smile and generate business. The moment I heard of that tragedy, I removed it." So you can't have fun anymore. Do you see what I mean? It's like some people who listen to that clip might think, you know, I don't like the use of that word. My mum, for example, when my stepfather would watch some of his action films he liked to see, she'd say, "Oh, a lot of S's and F's were in the films," referring to those two swear words that I'm sure you can realise what they were. But the danger of stopping all that is that you lead to a world like this where people just look to complain about something and therefore get rid of fun. I mean, and get the, and they don't even know what they're talking about. Get this guy. He said, this is a city councillor, Bailey Anthony Carroll. He blasted the ad after receiving a string of angry emails from local residents. Mr. Carroll, who represents Dennis Doon in the East End, said, "To put up a massive serial killer inflatable for no good reason feels so insensitive." Well, it's not a serial killer inflatable. Michael Myers is a fictional character from the Halloween series of films. You know, if they put an inflatable of someone like Dennis Nielsen or, you know, Ian Brady or something like that, I would agree. That's insensitive. That's real life people who killed other real life people. But this is a fictional character from a horror film. So anyway, you can see the picture, you can see if it would offend you. It certainly doesn't offend me. I think the name Big Duck Bathrooms is excellent, and that's the sort of promotion you would expect from a company that has a satirical name such as that. So I say good on them. Let's have some more fun rather than all this, oh, I'm offended. Let's move on to Russia seizes hundreds of Ukrainian troops and threatens to treat them like terrorists as Putin makes public appearance in military fatigues. Oh, hang on. So, you know, I believe that this is all orchestrated behind the scenes. So I thought it was always Zelensky that appeared in military fatigue. So maybe Putin walked into the wrong dressing room that morning. I wonder. Let's move on to this headline. Two-tier sentencing rules are unfair to white men, Britain's equality watchdog chief warns. Now, a lot of people have been talking about this in the independent media that I've heard in the past week. And essentially what it is pre-sentence reports are going to be requested for minority groups to make it more likely that they are spared jail. And so the argument is that white males, particularly white male Christians, are being excluded from that pre-sentence reports, which should help them be spared jail. So this is unfair. Well, at the moment, some white males do get pre-sentence reports, which means that they should be spared jail, especially if those pre-sentence reports tell the judge, you know, this guy is a perfect candidate for community service, doesn't represent any danger to the public, stuff like that. Ooh, a name comes to mind, Sam Melia. Remember him? Who was prosecuted for putting up lawful stickers. And he had a pre-sentence report, and I remember reading about this at the time, that him and his wife, Laura Towler, were extremely encouraged by the report that indicated, this is from a specialist now, a probation officer is someone who says, you know, is this guy safe on the street or not, or do we need to lock him up? And all the evidence pointed to the fact that this guy should be doing community service. But because of the nature of what he did that the elites didn't like, the judge put him in jail, okay? And it was completely unexpected and completely out of whack with what the pre-sentence report said. So on that basis, even if it, you know, if it does, they're still going to get to you if they don't like you. If they want you in jail, they'll put you in jail. They'll find a way. So let's not get our knickers in a twist over nothing, because, yeah, they're going to always come up. You just look at what goes on in society, and it's pretty obvious who is being targeted. Okay, why Gen Z would rather lift weights than be lifting pints. So Gen Z are apparently aged between 13 and 28. They make up, this is according to a company called The Gym Group. And this age group make up 40% of the group's membership, and apparently they're more interested in health and mental health than drinking. This is according to the boss of the gym group, Will Orr. He said, gyms are very much social places. They go to gyms because they want to go to gyms. Maybe people like you and I saw it as a chore in the past, but not for that generation. It's something they really want to do, and it's something that's very aspirational speaking. They are just more and more engaged and committed. They're more informed about the benefits of physical health. They really want to prioritise their mental health. So anyway, gym taking a priority to socialise over drinking. I do believe the gym group have a setup where you just join on a monthly basis. There's no joining fee, stuff like that. I might be wrong. I might be getting the wrong company, but certainly there was a company like that. And you think, well, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Shouldn't all gyms do that? Well, not in the UK, they don't. It was shocking the way that gyms get away with this. What they do is all these people make all these New Year's resolutions they're never going to keep. And so come January, all these gyms get all these memberships, and it's like, oh, you've signed up for a year. You can't get out of it. You can't. It's so difficult to get out of a gym membership. So people have good intentions and suddenly realise come February that they're not really enjoying their time in the gym that much. They haven't really seen a lot of change in their condition. And, you know, they'd rather just leave. And, oh, no, you can't do that. you're signed up for at least a year, sometimes 2 years. So you sign up, you have to pay a joining fee as well, and then you pay a monthly fee. I was a member of a gym, right? Before I moved from... When I moved to Devon, that's right. Yeah, when I moved to Devon, I was a member of this gym. And what happened was they had a policy that if you got made redundant and you relocated, then you could cancel your gym membership. So I went in there with that. But it gets worse, folks. Say you relocate and there's another one of these gyms, because they were a nationwide chain, and they're within 20 miles of where you're moving to. Oh, well, you can't cancel your membership because we've got a branch there. Use that one instead. It's outrageous the way that there's absolutely no regulation on these cowboys. Do you know what I mean? So I went in there and I had everything in my favour. I had the letter. I'd been made redundant from a job. And then on top of that, I could show where I was moving to. And they made me wait 2 hours. They were just waiting for me to get up and give up and leave. And finally, just as the office staff were going home, I think it might have even been 3 hours, I just sat there. I said, I'm not leaving until I get a letter. And I kept going up to the counter. And in the end, they were like, well, he's not going to give up. We've got to go home. So they brought out a letter. Oh, look, we've released you from your contract. So that's how they work. They're absolute crooks. Never, ever sign up for a gym membership that expects all these commitments from you. You should be able to join 1 month and leave. Sometimes they require a month's, well, I think they all require a month's notice, that sort of nonsense. Again, that's not right, but if you're desperate to go to a gym, just find one that doesn't require all this nonsense that should be legally enforced against. These people should not be able to get away with what they're getting away with. And quite frankly, they should find some of the people that have made their ill-gotten gains off these types of business practices and seize their assets and give them back to the people they ripped them off from. I think they should pay me for that 3 hours of time they made me for sitting around just hoping that I would go away and give up. Okay, let's move on to norovirus outbreak on Princess Cruises ship leaves dozens of passengers and crew sick and forced into isolation. Now, this is the Coral Princess cruise ship, which set sail from California on February the 21st. And 69 of the over 1,000 passengers and 13 of the 895 crew members were struck down by the vomiting and diarrhea bug norovirus. Now, I caught norovirus on a cruise ship also. And what happened was, it was a... You just couldn't stop being sick and, you know, diarrhea, all that sort of stuff. Only had it for like 24 hours or just over. They isolate you in your cabin for 24 hours. They bring food to you. But that's another problem, because the food they bring isn't very special. You can't have anything dairy. So, for example, you can have a potato, a baked potato, but you can't have any butter or cheese with it. You can have, like, a piece of chicken, but you can't, you know, piece of chicken on its own with no sauce or anything to go with it. It's a bit boring, isn't it? No gravy. No, no, can't have any of that. You have to just season your food with salt and pepper, and I have loads of salt anyway, so I just added a bit of pepper to it to flavour it up. And I missed Rhodes, a Greek island, because that's where we had pulled up to port on the day that I was quarantined. But I was able to come out, I believe, the following day and go to wherever we were there. So, yeah, I feel for these people. It's not a pleasant thing to have. I knew a guy who worked on a cruise ship, and he said that some of these people who worked there, he'd actually complained about one of them urinating near a load of food stores because they couldn't be bothered to go off to the toilet area. And so some of the cleanliness of some of the staff on there has a great deal to be desired from what this guy told me. And he worked as a photographer on cruise ships. Okay, so finally, we're going back to Glasgow for this article. Are these the stupidest road names in Britain? Locals take jabs at city streets given a hospital theme. Now this, as I say, is in Glasgow, and there's a new housing estate, and here are the names of some of the roads. Vaccine Drive and Laboratory Place. Down on Vaccine Drive. Anyway, also they've got Virology Grove and Radiography Road. So whilst the locals have said that these names are ridiculous, there is a reason behind them. The area was previously home to Rutchill Hospital, one of the first purpose-built infectious disease hospitals in Scotland. So it says the hospital, which first opened its doors in 1990, treated people suffering from a myriad of infectious diseases, including scarlet fever, smallpox, and tuberculosis. In 1998, the facility closed its doors for the final time and was sold only a year later, with the area not used for over two decades before construction work began. So the names again are Vaccine Drive, Laboratory Place, Virology Grove and Radiography Road. I think they sound a bit ridiculous personally. I was born in a hospital that was converted into homes. It's obviously not as big as this because it's only on one road. But I think it's Corbalt Close, it's called, in Carshalton. It was the War Memorial Hospital. It's still got the stones that were placed in. It was for the after the First World War. Stones placed by, you know, top councillors, all this sort of stuff. I think 1920-something. And they converted it into little apartments or houses. It's quite strange. Some of it's only on one level, so you could call them little houses. And they've got upstairs as well, that they've got places there too. But they did a very good job, and an estate agent I spoke to said that these places rarely come up for sale. People are very keen on them, and it's quite nice that the hospital that I was born in, whilst it was closed, wasn't actually knocked down. They converted the building into places. So I tend to visit that when I go to Carshalton Sutton with Amanda. We always walk up the hill and have a look there. I've got a film of my mother carrying her baby out of the doorway of that hospital. So I kind of always feel I touch the handle of the door. That's where I came out into the world. Anyway, there you go. So let's see what is going on with the news right now. Associated Press, apnews.com. We'll start off with them. Senate works to avert partial government shutdown ahead of midnight deadline. So I believe that that could be happening today. It's really weird the way it goes in America, I have to say, that you know, politically, people can vote. I mean, so if you're a government worker, what happens? You just stop going to work because you're not going to get paid. It seems really odd that there wouldn't be some sort of safeguard. Because in the end, let's be honest, it always gets resolved, doesn't it? You know, you don't suddenly have these people not working for 6 months. Certainly not in for as long as I've been following the American political system. It's all just a means, I think, of the opposition trying to annoy the party in government at the time. And I think it's a bit childish, to be quite frank. But then again, I can't understand why you have bills in America. So someone will introduce a bill about, I don't know, immigration. And someone else will tie something to that bill which says, oh, you have to give 60 billion to someone or other, completely unrelated to immigration, but they can tie certain things to it. That shouldn't be allowed either, should it? You know, a bill should be simply what the bill is, not something unrelated being tied to it. But that's what they do in America too. And that's how a lot of these nefarious groups get their funding, by the sounds of it. Let's move on to BBC News. And we'll do the top 10 again, shall we? This has been quite fun. So these are the top 10 most read articles on BBC News. Number 10, US influencer who snatched a baby wombat has left Australia. Number 9, Starmer's shock, NHS takeover and Putin's ceasefire terms. That is their What the Papers Say article. Number 8, fierce protests as 8-year-old rape victim dies in Bangladesh. Number 7, in pictures, stargazers marvel at blood moon amid lunar eclipse. Number 6, every McDonald's warned over staff sexual abuse. Well, most people McDonald's employ, a lot of them are still at school, aren't they? So you can imagine the sort of person that would like to get hold of a franchise. Obviously not all of them, but yeah, it's, well, need I say more? It's going to encourage some people who aren't there to run a decent restaurant and serve the public. They've got other intentions involving their young staff. Number 5, UK economy shrank unexpectedly in January. Number 4, British man killed by president's convoy in Kenya hit and run. Doesn't sound good if the actual president is involved in a hit and run, does it? Number three, Mrs. Hinch treated for blood clots weeks after giving birth. Number two, the unexpected knock-on effect of Trump's minerals deal of the century. So what's this one? Is this with Ukraine? I know that Putin was talking about one with Russia. And I was blamed for crash when I was 280 miles away is number one. Let's look at Daily Mail, see what's number one up there. Moment, Ugandan United Nations judge insists I have immunity as she's arrested in England for forcing young woman to work as her slave. Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? We hear these stories about slavery still going on in the world, but if they're not politically correct to talk about, they really don't like to talk about them. As I say, the most interesting book I ever read on slavery was the Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 1, which was put together by the Nation of Islam. And this was put together as a way of disproving a pamphlet called Who Bought the Slaves to America by Walter White. Someone in the Nation of Islam, this is my understanding of the story, they read that, they said, that's just nonsense, so we're going to do our own research to disprove that. And they actually came up with stuff that proved that in spades, because the Who Brought the Slaves to America was a little pamphlet, whereas, as I recall, this is a 250-page book. And what was the top story earlier on? It's now dropped down a few spots. Bitter battle over Gene Hackman's $80 million fortune likely as shocking details of his will are revealed after his and his second wife's death. So you can see how this Gene Hackman death to the mainstream media and many people in the independent media is the gift that keeps on giving. Let's go over to the independent news section of the show, RT.com. Washington snubs minerals deal with Kiev, Ukrainian media. The current proposal could see alterations during an ongoing pause, sources have suggested. So does that mean they're going to do a deal with Russia instead? And then they running the UN judge convicted in slavery trial. That's their, that I just mentioned from the BBC. That's their second to top headline. Let's move over to rents.com. See what's going on over there. Top stories, what have you. Let me see. I'm going to get into that in a minute because that's on another website. Senate refuses to pass continuing resolution after Democrats' Schumer meltdown. Trump negotiator who said US not an agent of Israel gets sideways boot. So where does that link to? Informationliberation.com. Okay, let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Witkoff departs Russia after delivering Ukraine offer. That's their top story. Flash, Ukraine delegation refuses. That's probably to do with what I just read from RT. And urgent update, Fortress America, Trump preparing for global financial collapse, European capital controls. Now, this is something I looked at yesterday. And apparently, $10 trillion has come out of the European Union over the past few months. And no country, no continent can afford that kind of removal of capital. So capital controls are supposedly going to be implemented in the European Union, perhaps as early as April the 7th. Below you can hear the 5-minute call in which a caller to the Hal Turner show made that claim, as it was broadcast live on the radio last night. So the call is down there. There's a link that you can click on. I can see there. I'm not going to play it now. It says Billy Boy from Florida. And have a listen to that if you wish. But there you go, capital controls. And what that essentially means is restricting what people can withdraw from their banks, different things like that. So it might be a time to actually keep cash if they're going to restrict what you can withdraw or spend out of your bank account. But then again, how many stories do we see like this that never develop into anything in real life? Earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis website. let's see what's going on up here. He's got another new banner at the top. It's something about The Matrix, I recall. I've only ever seen those films once. I never really... I got it on Blu-ray too. There was quite a cheap box set I bought during the lockdown. All this sort of stuff. But I couldn't... I don't know. I would have thought it's something that I would really, really be right up my street with, you know, regard to the sort of things I like The X-Files and all these sorts of things. But I couldn't really get into it. I guess it was a lot of the kung fu type, Hong Kong fooey stuff. I find that quite tedious to watch, to be quite honest with you. When the Bourne films came out, that really ruined that genre because they've got all this physical stuff that happens so quickly the eye can't follow it. And then James Bond franchise thought that was the way to go, so that ruined Bond as well. I'd much sooner have a fight on a train between Bond and Jaws than any of the rubbish that we see today. Okay, quote of the day: we shall have world government whether or not we like it. The question is only whether world government will be achieved by consent or by conquest. And that is a statement by Council on Foreign Relations member James Warburg to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February 17th, 1950. And I do believe I include that quote in my book, The Synagogue of Satan. Let's go over to censored.news, Mike Adams news aggregate website. Just wait for this to load up. Trump BS'd Americans that he bought back free speech just as long as you don't criticise Israel's genocide. That is the top headline on the second column, and that takes us to a Gerald Celente Twitter account. So there you go. Let's move on to the Before It's News Top 10. See what's going on over there. So, just wait for that to load up. Scroll down. Here we are, number 10. Well, up 5 hours ago, 105 people viewing. Dr. Scott Young, get ready. All hell is breaking loose in 24 hours. And that's 5 hours ago that went up, so we've got another 19. Number 9 went up 10 hours ago, 131 people viewing. Nightly Intel Update. Ismael Perez, and I do, you know, have to cover my eyes here because the image that accompanies that show just has Nasara written in the centre of it. Number 8, well, up 12 hours ago, 156 people viewing, Cliff High Wacky Woo, The Best Interview, Strange Moon, Radiation from the Galactic Centre, yes, Wacky Woo indeed. Number 7, well, up 10 hours ago, 169 people viewing, And We Know, Trump Breaking Let Freedom Ring. These next few days are critical. Number 6 went up 5 hours ago. 169 people viewing. Dr. Lee Merritt and Mike Adams. Get ready. A major event is coming. It always is on Before It's News for some reason. Number 5 went up 11 hours ago. 186 people viewing. New X22 report. March the 13th. Trump exposing criminal syndicate. The military and Trump got them all. Yes, again, that sounds like an old story. We keep hearing how he got them all. Number 4, well, up 8 hours ago, 355 people viewing. Wan O'Savin and JMC. Sorry, there's the pop-up. I need to close that if I'm going to read the rest to you. Wan O'Savin and JMC, urgent emergency. Big arrest, the Gitmo March begins 2025. Number 3, well, up 5 hours ago, 341 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. US Inc. is dissolved. Maritime law is dead. Trump is commander-in-chief. Number 2 went up 10 hours ago, 368 people viewing. Putin just shocked Trump. Envoy Zelensky is done, says Colonel Douglas McGregor. And number 1, which went up 14 hours ago, 547 people viewing. They knew about it in 1983. Planet X trajectory cover-up 2025. And they're talking about a 2030 trajectory in the show image, which is from Coast to Coast AM. I was really excited when I saw this because I haven't heard a lot on Planet X of late, but I clicked on to listen to it earlier and it was Marshall Masters, who I really do not like. I've heard him on other shows and he will say things like, oh, you know, you need to look at my book for that and stuff. So just there, in my opinion, really to hawk books, and certainly a couple of shows I listened to him. I won't listen to him now. So although I'm interested in Planet X, I don't trust him to deliver what the show says is going to be delivered. I think it's going to be a waste of my time, so I won't, even though I am a big fan of the Planet X phenomenon and believe it to the extent that I bought... I ate my way, as you know, through tins of corned beef once a week for the best part of a year that I finally finished late last year, that I bought in because I thought Planet X could hit. And there's very much that I, very little rather, that I will eat that has like a 2-year shelf life that corned beef does. Okay, that being said, I want to thank all of you for joining me this Friday, March the 14th, 2025, for a show entitled A 30-Foot Inflatable Michael Myers. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. And bye for now.